Chapter 67. Tolan. The eastern sky darkened with the rolling in of a new storm. The morning sunlight was completely overshadowed by clouds and light mist, a precursor for what was to come. It was going to be a rain-soaked battle. As if in answer to his thoughts, a streak of lightning flashed across the sky, followed closely by a loud clap of thunder. From the top of his painted warhorse, Commander Tolan watched as the Silmaran army on the other side of the valley closed ranks. Their attack was imminent.
"Looks to be a bad one,"
Overcaptain Asa said as he tightened the slack on his horse's reins, holding his mount steady under the sounds of the approaching storm. His long hair, which was streaked with a dignified grey, had been pulled tight behind his head and tied off with a leather strap. The sullen patch over his eye and long scar down the side of his face gave him all the presence of a warrior stepping out of some mythical tale.
"It does indeed."
It was dangerous for horsemen to ride into battle across sodden ground, but it looked as though they weren't going to be given a choice. His men were up to the challenge. They were the best-trained cavalry unit in Aldor, and he had no doubt they would make him proud. Tolan's strategy was simple. He had split his mounted lancer regiments into two groups. The first, led by Asa, the second by himself. He planned to use them in a flanking maneuver to pierce the enemy's sides, while Captain Janus and Under-Captain Bation pushed from the front with two six-column formations of pikemen. The pole arms would bear the brunt of the initial attack. Directly behind the pikes, Tolan positioned a full squad of bowmen, led by Under-Captain Bellows, and a regiment of longbowmen under the command of Captain Nadir. Following them marched the Alondrian Lancers' main force. Sometimes it was the simple, direct assaults that provided the most efficient victories. From the far side of the valley, Tolan watched them come. The Silmaran army was at best a disorganized grouping of ragtag armsmen, whose premier battle strategy was to aim in one direction and charge when someone gave the signal. Their armor was piecemeal, at best, and their uniforms consisted mostly of whatever they happened to be wearing at the time, which made it fairly easy for both sides to spot the other. However, with the heavy rain moving in, it wasn't going to matter, since vision tended to blur dramatically in a dense downpour. Tolan watched Asa tug anxiously on his ducktail beard. He wondered how the man maintained any whiskers at all, with as much fondling as he gave the ugly thing.
"I believe it's time for us to be parting ways, Commander," Asa said, before spitting off to the side.
He flipped up his eye patch and rubbed his finger around the inner edge of his empty socket. He knew how much it unnerved Tolan when he did this, and he seemed to get a perverse pleasure in watching Tolan squirm. Tolan smiled at his crazy, battle-hardened friend. He held out his arm.
"To victory."
Asa took it.
"To the swift death of our enemies, and to the women who await our return."
Asa released his arm with a determined look. He spun his horse around and laid his boots into its flank. Tolan watched as his captain sped off in the direction of the awaiting cavalry unit. He wondered if this would be the last time he ever got to speak with his friend. He had lost a lot of men along the way. It was the harsh reality of living by the sword. The rain thickened. He wiped the water from his eyes where it dripped from his narrowed brows. His shoulder-length hair had been pulled back and tied off with a crimson leather strap to keep from getting in his eyes. By now, the Silmaran troops had made it halfway across the open field in a slow march and were holding ground. Tolan noticed their horsemen, few as they were, had been added to their frontal assault.
"That was a mistake."
Out in front, he could see Captain Janus and Under-Captain Bation were instructing their footmen to brace their raised pikes to be ready to meet a mounted charge. The impact would be swift and hard. The most valuable weapon for slowing a heavy wave, however, would be a weapon of range. Behind the pikes, Captain Nadir stood with flags raised, while his bowmen spread out in a staggered line formation. They drew their strings and waited. Nadir was a good man, a veteran of several campaigns. He was also one of the best marksmen Toland had ever seen, able to hit the red from 300 paces. A horn sounded in the distance behind the Silmaran lines, and their army charged. It started slow, but quickly picked up pace. Their shouts and battle cries were drowned momentarily by another surge of lightning and roll of thunder. The enemy ranks tore across the valley floor like a tidal wave ready to make land. Nadir's flag came down.
"Release!" he hollered above the clamor, and his bowmen fired their first volley.
Tolan held his breath and counted. 1, 2, 3, 4. It was a tradition of his for as long as he could remember, as he waited for the initial impact. He watched as the deadly cloud raced toward the oncoming soldiers. He exhaled as the wall of shafts fell across the front of the Silmaran ranks.
8. Men were chopped down in large swaths, arrows piercing arms, legs, chests, and heads. Those in front looked more like pincushions than men. The screams and shrills of the wounded and dying were only covered in part by the blood-frenzied roar issuing from those coming up behind them as they continued to close the distance on the Alondrian front lines. The Silmaran's mounted regiment had suffered tremendous damage from the initial rain of the bowmen. By the time the horses reached the front of the Alondrian lines, there was hardly a quarter of them left, which was why Tolan had kept his own cavalry back during the initial incursion. Many of their riders were clearly inexperienced in warfare, and, having seen the dark wave of arrows approaching, had tried turning their horses to flee. But with the unstoppable rush of the army behind them, they were thrown down and trampled to death, horse and all.
"Fools, the lot of them!"
Tolan shouted, gesturing at the ludicrous scene playing out in front of him. The Silmaran strategy of attack made no use of bowmen, and their offensive was, in the most general of terms, what you see is what you get. Their soldiers drew on what they knew, blunt force. And with such a strategy came animalistic aggression. They were more familiar with fighting off pitchfork-wielding farmhands, ravaging villages, and raping defenseless women, not standing toe-to-toe with well-armed and well-trained troops. Their weapons consisted of large, heavy blades, battle axes, war hammers, and maces, each used as a definable weapon of terror or position. Apparently, in Silmaran eyes, the larger the weapon, the grislier the death, and the more prestigious the wielder. However, when faced with battle-ready tactics used for holding and maintaining a defensible line, those strategies were wholly inadequate. Their army had now crossed to within 50 paces, and Stolen's gloved hands tightened on his reins as he anticipated the initial clash. He could hear Nadir ordering his longbowmen into a defensible retreat, while at the same time allowing for under-Captain Belos and his ranks of crossbowmen to step into position.
"Fire at will!"
came the call as Belos's men released their bolts into the front ranks of the closing Silmarans. Chaos ensued as men were forced to stumble over the bodies of their fallen as they fought to reach the Alondrian lines. The crossbowmen retreated just as the front ranks of the Silmaran army broke across the Alondrian pikes. The sound of the impact could be heard even above the storm. Tolan couldn't pull his eyes away from the gruesome carnage below as the bodies piled in front of the pole-bearers. Their great pikes skewered 1, 2, sometimes 3 men at a time. All of the ballads ever sung plays ever performed, and masterpieces ever painted, fell unequivocally short of capturing the sheer horror of a single battle. They sung of the glories of victory, of the depths of conquest, the nobility of it all, but, as Tolan noted, if they were ever to receive an honest answer from a veteran who had lived through the true horror of hand-to-hand combat, they would be the first to tell you there is nothing glorious or noble in the slaughter of men. There are no words, or ink, or paint, which could describe the warmth of another's blood as it sprays across your face, or the taste of their internal fluids in your mouth, or the sight of a man's body as it is hacked into pieces. It was a nightmare Tolan had been forced to relive for years. Tolan hated war, but he knew that there was evil in the world, and as long as it remained, war would inevitably be the byproduct, for greed was the consequence of the human heart, and there were many who served its dark purposes to their own destruction and to the destruction of others. If there had to be war, he intended to win. The rain was now washing across the battlefield in heavy sheets. Tolan shifted position in his saddle as he scanned the carnage. He wasn't a commander who appreciated sitting on the sidelines while his men were fighting and dying in front of him. He was a man who wanted to be in the middle of the action. He wanted to feel the burning of sweat in his eyes, the rush of death at every swing. He was a warrior, heart, mind, and soul. The forward momentum of the Silmaran army had stalled as they struggled to push beyond the front lines of the Alondrian forces. Tolan moved his horse out in front. On the far side of the field, Acer's unit was moving into position as well. Taking one last survey of the landscape, Tolan waved his horsemen forward and into position at the edge of the gently rising slope. His painted stallion pranced to the front. Another crash of lightning lit the sky, illuminating the battle ahead. Already anticipating his maneuvers, he could see Janus and Bastion signaling to push their footmen forward. He grunted his approval.
Good men.
Nadir and Belos had already moved their bowmen behind the large earthen mounds flanking the sides of the fields. From there, they had the advantage of striking at the Silmaran lines, threatening to break free while herding them back to the center. Turning in his saddle, Tolan drew his sword. Its familiar grip of wrapped steel was a welcome sensation between his gloved fingers. He raised his blade over his head and shouted,
"For Alondria!"
There was a loud ringing of steel from behind that sent a shiver of excitement rushing straight through him as his men echoed his call.
For Alondria!
Tolan's blood was pumping in his ears. He started his horse forward. He knew better than to kick his mount into a hard run from a dead stop. They needed to build their speed at a manageable pace. The ground rumbled and shook as the surge of riders tore across the field. Tolan lived for this, galloping at the head of a stampede of horsemen, sword drawn, teeth bared, hair ripping in the wind. He could feel his heart racing, his breath slowing, and his mind coming into focus as they neared the wall of Silmaran armsmen in front of them. It was terrifying. It was exhilarating. It was the rush. He could see the faces of the enemy come into focus, the whites of their eyes as they stared down his charge. They had no idea what was about to hit them. Or maybe they did. He could see the look of horror in the eyes of the closest. Taking a deep breath, he raised his great sword in the air and released a mighty roar as they tore into the Silmaran's right flank. His horse trampled across the bodies of those unable to get out of the way. He swung his arm with the fury of a madman, separating the first ranker's head from his shoulders. It bounced off three other men before finally dropping to the ground. Tolan's heart raced. It was the rush. An arm carrying a large cleaver swung in his direction. He countered and sent the cleaver flying through the air, along with half the arm still holding its handle. From one side of his horse to the other, he swung his deadly blade and severed limb from torso. Like an artist, he painted his canvas with blood-filled strokes, wielding his sword like a brush through the bodies of color around him. Men cried out in rage, cried out in terror, cried out for mercy, but there was none to be had. Tolan's focus narrowed. It was the rush. He took a deep cut to his left leg, but his mind was so focused on the task at hand that he barely felt it, and, with that same leg, he kicked a soldier in the face as the man raised his axe to strike. Tolan didn't let up. He forced his cavalry onward. They couldn't slow down. If his charge were to falter and stop before exiting, they would be cut to pieces. As hard as he could, Tolan pushed his men forward. Like a great arrowhead, his unit tore halfway through the Silmarin ranks before he angled their drive back out again. They couldn't afford to get stuck inside. From both sides of his horse, Tolan hacked away at the armsmen below as they fought to reach him. He felt another cold slice of pain as one of the Silmarin blades deflected off his sword and opened the top of his forearm. He struck the man with the hilt of his sword, collapsing the top of his head while catching another in the chest with his boot. The pain was beginning to increase. He could feel the blood seep around the open wound on his arm. He couldn't falter now. Tolan pushed them on, cutting down as many of the enemy as he could. Some cried for mercy at the last possible moment, but he showed them none. Was there mercy given to those poor farmers whose lands these savages had burned, whose daughters and wives they had raped, whose sons they had killed? With a swift boot to a soldier's face, Tolan thrust his sword through the man's chest on the way by. The perimeter of the Silmarin forces was just ahead. He blocked another strike on his left, and with the same motion opened a soldier's neck on his right with a swift backswing. A grateful sigh of relief escaped Tolan's lips as they cut their way back out to open ground. He turned in his saddle. The V-shaped hole his men had dug out of their enemy's flank slowly closed in on itself. He needed to get back to the command center to prepare for their next engagement, and to see if there had been any further orders from the king. On the other side of the battlefield, Tolan caught a glimpse of Asa and his men fighting their way out of the Silmarans' outer lines. The over-captain still held his large battle axe in one hand as he directed his regiment away from the main force. The cavalry's precision strikes had successfully managed to give their lancers a stronger foothold from which to maneuver forward.
Commander!
Tolan turned at the sound of his name to find one of Elior's war runners heading in his direction. The young man looked like a half-drowned tabby just pulled from the river.
What is it?
Tolan asked, shouting to be heard above the sudden roll of thunder.
Three of the scouts have returned, sir.
The runner's face said it all.
Sir, you need to hear their report. Immediately.